A reading from the book of Numbers. The sons of Israel began to wail. "Who will give us meat to eat?" they said. "Think of the fish we used to eat free in Egypt, the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. Here we are wasting away, stripped of everything there is, nothing but manna for us to look at." The manna was like coriander seed, and had the appearance of bdellium. The people went around gathering it and ground it in a mill or crushed it with a pestle. It was then cooked in a pot and made into pancakes. It tasted like cake made with oil. When the dew fell on the camp at night time, the manna fell with it. Moses heard the people wailing, every family at the door of its tent. The anger of the Lord flared out, and Moses greatly worried over this, and he spoke to the Lord. "Why do you treat your servant so badly? Why have I not found favor with you, so that you load on me the weight of all this nation? Was it I who conceived all this people? Was it I who gave them birth, that you should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom like a nurse with a baby at the breast, to a land that I swore to give to their fathers'? Where am I to find meat to give all this people, when they come to me worrying me so tearfully and say, 'Give us meat to eat'? I am not able to carry this nation by myself alone. The weight is too much for me. If this is how you want to deal with me, I would rather you killed me. If only I had found favor in your eyes and not lived to see such misery as this." The word of the Lord. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus received the news of John the Baptist's death, he withdrew by boat to a lonely place where they could be by themselves. But the people heard of this, and leaving the towns, went after him on foot, so that as he stepped ashore he saw a large crowd, and he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. When evening came, the disciples went to him and said, "This is a lonely place, and the time has slipped by. So send the people away, and they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "There is no need for them to go. Give them something to eat yourselves." But they answered, "All we have with us is 5 loaves and 2 fish. "Bring them here to me," he said. He gave orders that the people were to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, raised his eyes to heaven and said the blessing, and breaking the loaves, handed them to his disciples, who gave them to the crowds. They all ate as much as they wanted, and they collected the scraps remaining, 12 baskets full. Those who ate numbered about 5,000 men, to say nothing of women and children. The Gospel of the Lord. My favourite Greek verb of the New Testament appears in today's Gospel. It is the verb splanchnitsomai. Just try and say that. Splanchnitsomai. It does something to your insides. And that's exactly what the verb means, the clenching or the boiling, the churning of one's insides, of the splanchnon, all the pipes and tubes that are there deep inside ourselves. More specifically, when referring to a woman, it means the contraction of the womb. It has a sense of giving birth. It is this emotion, this stirring on the inside, that Jesus feels when he sees the crowd, when his heart turns towards their nourishment in food, not only their spiritual nourishment. Jesus might not have known of Maslow's hierarchy, but he certainly practiced it. You cannot hear the transcendent without some sense of being full, being satisfied, being nourished by earthly food. And so the miracle of the multiplication unfolds. Yet that miracle of the multiplication contains in it one little detail that we often skip in the dialogue with the disciples. When Jesus hears their complaint, "This is a lonely place and the time has slipped by, so send the people away so that they can go in the villages and buy themselves some food," Jesus replied, "There is no need for them to go. Give them something to eat yourselves." And what do the disciples do? They do what the rest of us do. They tell Jesus how little they have, what they can't give, what can't be done. Yet Jesus insists, and from the little that is brought to him, blesses, breaks, gives, and shares. And in the New Testament, when we hear those four words together, bless, break, give, and share, we know that we are dealing with a commentary on the Eucharist for the early communities, giving them a fuller sense of what the Eucharist is and what it achieves. The nourishment of the full person, the nourishment of the whole being. Yet we know as children we often reject nourishment because we don't like it. We moan about this, that, and the other food. And we hear an echo of that in our first reading, where the people of Israel, although they are fully nourished by the manna, do not really like it, which is very strange. Our text today tells us that the manna tasted like pancakes made with oil, cakes made with oil. There is also a rabbinical tradition that tells us that the manna tasted like anything you desired at that point. So if you wanted steak, chips, and eggs, you got steak, chips, and eggs. If you wanted caviar and champagne, that is what your mouth filled with when you ate the manna. That in itself, it was supremely satisfying. But to be satisfied is not enough. We need that nourishment that goes deeper. And we often overlook what nourishes us. As the people became used to the manna, they wanted something more. They wanted their leeks and their garlic and their onions. Must have been a smelly lot when they were living in Egypt, but anyway. They wanted something more. But they already had it. They already had everything they needed. The disciples around Jesus already had everything they needed to nourish, to feed, to sustain, to support, to be a mother. As Moses speaks to God about conceiving the people, giving birth to them, and nurturing them at her bosom. The motherhood of God nurtures and nourishes. The motherhood of God, through the work of the disciples, nurtures and nourishes. The motherhood of God, expressed in the preaching of Jesus, nurtures and nourishes. And we turn to God in the face of the world and say, we don't have enough. We don't have the resources for this ministry. We don't have the resources to make a difference. We don't have the resources to bring about a change. We don't have the resources to build community. And in each of these occasions, the answer is the question that Jesus asks. What do you have? Let us not bother God with our shortcomings. God knows them all too well. Let us simply gift what we have. And through the divine action of taking, blessing, breaking, and sharing, we realize that we have enough to nurture the world. Amen.